G'day, I'm Rob.
And I'm Dave.
And you're listening to the prelude of our Who Killed Kennedy podcast that comes out this Sunday. This is, Dave, the synopsis of Who Killed Kennedy. For those who have not read the book, maybe read the book a long time ago, people who are just curious about the book, we're going to run through it in as quick time as possible tonight.
Absolutely. Whilst this will be as quick as we can make a summary of a nearly 300-page book, it will probably be 10 to 15 minutes, and we thought rather than bogging down the podcast with that, it will be here separately. Those who want to can listen to it. Those of you who don't want to can delete it, and we'll just discuss the book on Sunday.
Yes, so if you've downloaded this episode and thought, oh, look, the boys have dropped an episode early, fantastic. No, this is not the full episode. This is just the synopsis of Who Killed Kennedy. Shall we start, Dave?
We shall.
All right. Should we toss a coin? Who goes first?
Do you have a coin?
No.
Look, I'll go first.
Okay.
October 1969. James Stevens is a Daily Chronicle writer obsessed with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He takes a call from a man named Mullins, a porter at the Ashbridge Cottage Hospital, and decides to investigate. He arrives to find the hospital swarmed with news reporters as well as members of UNIT. The next day, he was surprised to see the word UNIT had been replaced in his report with the phrase, the authorities. The following day, one of the most infamous terrorist attacks of the 1960s occurred. Terrorists began attacking hapless citizens in the street. They also turned off all power and disabled TV and radio stations, cutting off media.
November 1969. Inspired by Britain's increasing space program, James begins writing a new column for the paper on scientific breakthroughs and starts off by interviewing Ralph Cornish and Professor J.P. Kettlewell. He also had an appointment scheduled with Frederick Masters, but that was cancelled because Masters was unavailable. The next day, a virus spreads through central London. Stevens receives Wenley Moore's phone number from an anonymous caller and calls the research centre. The Brigadier answers, but on discovering Stevens is a reporter, demands to know how he got this number before hanging up. Stevens is still able to write a good story, and that night he and his friends go to a bar to celebrate. Stevens ends up sleeping with a red-haired girl he meets. Stevens returns home after his one-night stand. His wife, Natasha Stevens, is infuriated that he was home late, having made him a meal to celebrate that she may have been pregnant.
December 1969. The Mars Recovery 7 lost communication for a brief while and came down without anyone in it. Days later, a second recovery mission went up, and Stevens then noticed Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart at the Space Center on his TV set. Stevens finds a link between UNIT and C-19, another organization which serves as a link between UNIT and the government. Stevens begins to get threatening mail and phone calls. Unable to communicate with most of his previous contacts anymore, Stevens found only one individual willing to talk to him, a local fashion photographer infamous for her stories of an alien invasion, Isabel Watkins. Stevens is shocked to discover that Isabel is not a raving and insane person. She tells him of an alien invasion that she witnessed and describes the people she saw there, including the Brigadier, Zoe, Jamie, and Dr. John Smith. Walking home, Stevens notices a C-19 car parked across the street from Isabel's house and runs, fearing he has been followed.
January 1970. Stevens spent most of January 1970 secretly researching UNIT and placing it into a timeline entitled The UNIT Dossier. It mentions several key events leading up to the formation of UNIT, including the disappearance of two school teachers from Coal Hill School, the Shoreditch incident, and Group Captain Gilmore's call for a task force to handle alien invasions and activities, as well as the C-Day fiasco, the Gatwick Airport incident, and the London Underground nerve gas scare, among others. He also identifies a pattern of operatives codenamed the Doctor.
February 1970. James Stevens discovers another failed science project called the Inferno Project. In a pursuit of what happened there, Stevens tracks down Greg Sutton, a former consultant on the project. He also tells him about another man named Dr. John Smith. More shocking is this man's appearance matches that of the individual who went up in the second recovery mission to save Mars Probe 7. The next day, Stevens is shocked to find that his UNIT article has been pulled. He is sent to the editor's room, where he is offered a double raise and up to £50,000 on the spot if he hands over all his evidence from the UNIT article. He refuses and is fired. Stevens arrives home to discover that his notes and tape reels have been thrown amongst the room. On his bed, he finds images of him with the woman he had a one-night stand with. James drives to Natasha's parents' estate. Natasha's father, Lord Howarth, tells him that the divorce papers have already been processed, and police arrive to beat him up and take him to a hospital. He sees a pregnant Natasha weeping before blacking out.
April 1970. Stevens begins work as a freelance writer. He is commissioned to write a book entitled Bad Science, based on his newspaper articles, as well as a book considering what would happen had JFK lived. He finds out many new and interesting stories about UNIT, including that they recalled a batch of plastic flowers.
June to November 1970. Stevens speaks to a worker at the Ministry of Science who's able to give him access to the first UK viewing of the Keller process. There he sees for the first time one of the doctor operatives and his companion. He witnesses and notes as the doctor continuously interrupts Professor Kettering, mocking the Keller machine during its presentation. Bothered by the Keller machine, Stevens begins researching it. 2 days later, riots begin breaking out and Kettering is dead. He sells the story to the Metropolitan. In an attempt to learn more about UNIT, Stevens also name-dropped the Glasshouse in the hope that someone would contact him about it.
December 1970. One day, Stevens receives a letter in halting, hesitant scrawl and says they know about the Glasshouse. The name left was Dodo, and it had a phone number left for contact. Stevens calls the number and discovers it belongs to a homeless shelter. There, he eventually gets hold of Dodo, who agrees to meet him at a cafe. The next day, Stevens meets Dodo, who tells him her story. She suffers from blackouts and memory loss, and she often has flashbacks to scenes which could not possibly have happened to her, such as being in the Old West, meeting one-eyed monsters, and seeing giant dolls dance around her. This all first started to happen to her on C-Day, and since then she has suffered from blackouts and often woke up in hospitals. One day, they put her in a psychiatric hospital. She has memories of shock therapy. The next day, Dodo and James continue their discussion on Glasshouse. Dodo had been sent there and interrogated by a man with piercing eyes who had constantly asked her about a doctor. One day, after she began yelling that she wanted to be left alone, she was released, with the evil man telling her that she was well-trained but that he would silence her. She has been homeless since then. That night, James asks Dodo to stay and live with him, and Dodo agrees, as long as she gets to pull her own weight. Before entering their separate rooms, Dodo kisses James on the cheek. After several months, they become lovers.
January to March 1971. James learns about an incident where UNIT had been called to the Nutton Power Complex to fight off terrorists. He receives a call from Elizabeth Shaw, who he'd been trying to contact for some time. She agrees to meet him if he comes up to Cambridge. Stevens meets Liz, who informs him that she can only confirm or deny what he has to ask her. Liz also warns James that she believes that he is misrepresenting UNIT and that UNIT are actually working for the good of the government. She eventually leaves and Stevens is approached by a C-19 thug who beats him up and tells him that he will be killed if he continues to research the organisation.
May 1971. On Beltane night, James and Dodo watch a broadcast on BBC Three for the programme The Passing Parade. The broadcast goes wrong, and suddenly transmission is cut. James discovers that the perpetrator has been caught and is identified as the terrorist Victor Magister. He has supposedly been responsible for the strange events of the past year.
June, July 1971. James is invited to a special panel on The Passing Parade to discuss the upcoming trial of Victor Magister. James reveals UNIT, C-19, and the conspiracy around Victor Magister, and the program is cut and James is warned he must leave. His house is firebombed and he's beaten to a pulp by the same C-19 operative. James goes to the police station to report the attack and the destruction of his property. He's led into a trap laid by the master, and James is knocked unconscious by the C-19 operative.
Dates unknown, 1971. James awakens to find himself in the infamous Glasshouse prison, a prisoner of the master. There he meets UNIT soldier Private Francis Cleary, and together they hatch a plan and manage to successfully escape. They get back to London and James reunites with Dodo. Stevens is given the green light to do a special on the Glasshouse for the Passing Parade, and James will go with a camera crew to expose the fraudulent facility, while Cleary will appear on the program to explain what is occurring behind the doors.
August 1971. The program airs, but when James arrives at the glasshouse facility near Evesham, it is found to be unlocked and seemingly abandoned, while Cleary comes across as insane in the studio interview, and they lose all credibility of their story. James returns home to find Dodo murdered, with the police believing James is the culprit. He is later released.
September 1971. Distraught over Dodo's death, James takes an excursion to Brighton and buries Dodo. He buries her by himself, remembering Dodo saying she had no living relatives, but he is joined by a small, slightly dishevelled man. One night, he catches a news program presenting on the peace talks that are supposed to happen at Audley House the next day, between world superpowers. James realizes that he can still expose UNIT for the evil organization he thinks they are. James awakens when he hears a large blast coming from the building. He is attacked by an Ogron, but is saved by the Doctor. The Doctor helps James get away from the house as it is about to explode. Finally, meeting face to face, the Brigadier courteously explains to James that UNIT is not the shadowy, evil organization he depicts them as. He further explains that they are now aware of C-19, but C-19 was never their contact or liaison, and they had previously thought it abolished, and, as it turns out, was yet another of the Master's schemes. Overwhelmed, the Brigadier has James put up in a nearby hotel so he can recover from the ordeal and shock. James realizes that he has been wrong all along, and people like Isabel Watkins and Professor Shaw tried to tell him that UNIT was never the villain, but he refused to listen, preferring a good story over the facts and how this had cost Dodo her life.
The 14th of September 1971. James speaks to the Doctor, answering all his questions. The Doctor realizes that the Master is putting his plan to destabilize the space-time continuum into action, using Cleary and other brainwashed UNIT soldiers to change history in unpredictable ways. He instructs James to use the time ring that he took from Cleary to go back in time and stop him from doing whatever the Master instructed him to do, which seems to be to prevent the assassination of US President John F. Kennedy. James does so and arrives in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963.
22nd of November, 1963. James arrives and is greeted and taunted by the Master, but leaves him to find and stop Cleary. James eventually finds him fighting with Lee Harvey Oswald, and the two are knocked out. James, to his horror, realizes that to ensure the assassination of Kennedy, he must do it himself. He lines up at the window to take the shot, catching sight of the Master, and fires, but misses. However, a shot fired from elsewhere succeeds, and the assassination prevails. James manages to catch sight of the perpetrator, and although stricken with horror, he has no time to lose and sets up Oswald for when he is inevitably found. As the police close in on them in the clock tower, James grabs Cleary and uses the time ring to transport them back.
14th of September 1971. James calls the Doctor again and explains what happened, but the Doctor asks him to leave out the part about who actually killed Kennedy, surmising that James will have to live with that knowledge alone.
January 1996. James explains what happened over the past quarter century. He recounts what has happened to the many people he met, such as the Brigadier, retiring and becoming a mathematics teacher at a public school. James became a journalism tutor and mentioned that his favourite students had been Ruby Duvall and Sarah Jane Smith. Finally, he reveals he kept the time ring and that he was the one who did assassinate Kennedy, but as a 50-year-old man, as it was himself at that current age that he saw from the clock tower on his trip back in time to stop Cleary. He has been tormented with this knowledge all his life and goes back in time to fulfil his final duty, sickeningly acknowledging the Master's victory in his torment, and hopes that the contents of the book will have helped to shed some light on the mystery.
That's an edited version of the summary from the TARDIS wiki page. So thank you and an acknowledgement for the work they did in putting that together. And we cut it down from 6,000 words to 2,000 words. Hopefully that gives you enough of an idea of the plot so that you can join our discussion on Sunday with a bit of information.
Or indeed, just a refresher if you have read it. Dave, I almost want to get stuck into talking about it now. Some of these things we've just read, I'm like, let's discuss that.
Well, let's press stop on this and record on that, and we'll put that out on Sunday.
Yes, we will. We'll talk again soon.
Goodbye.
Bye.